that prayer and those words that she just played coming out of, again, the book of Psalms. Morning. Thank God for the rain. Praise God. Rain comes upon the just and the unjust. So we're just grateful He blessed everyone today. Amen. Good to see you, Dina. Rob, thank you for being here. Mark, those are great thoughts this morning. And I want you to remember what he said our purpose on earth is, okay, as we share today. A typical American family. A man. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but many guys in their homes have what they call a honey-do list. Large honey-do list. And it seems like every day there's something being added to this honey-do list. Or maybe there's problems with the car, the brakes are going bad, you know, transmission is beginning to act up, things of that nature, and going on, keeping on. And maybe there's painting needs to be done in the house, or there's work outside, the siding's coming off. Looking at this, I mean, you look at everything around you and the aspects of it from a man's perspective, and many times it's just so easy to say, well, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get at it. I will. You know, I know it needs to be done, but tomorrow. Or maybe it's the woman of the house, and the dishes have kind of piled up a little bit in the sink, and maybe there's some beds unmade in the household, or maybe there's a shirt that the husband has that there's a button that's missing, has been missing for quite a length of time. Things of that nature and whatever, and it would be easy as it would be, you know. Well, I know those things are important. I will do it, and I'm going to get at it, but I'm going to do it tomorrow, okay? I mean, the aspects of that, of course, is this man, this woman, probably is in need of what you and I would identify as some self-discipline. You can shake your head, yes. Okay. Or it may be like the college student just got done playing his 25th game of bean toss competition. That's September coming up at Dave's, remember? All right. And so he gets done. It's 11 p.m. He goes home, walks into his dorm room, and there laying on the desk is all this paperwork for a term paper. He just got it started, but he realizes then it's due tomorrow morning. It's due tomorrow morning. So those 25 games, if you will, simply identify and illustrate to us that his time hasn't been well spent. Hasn't been at all. And on and on and on we can go in our world today of illustrating the aspect that the problem would be the same. The problem would be a lack of self-discipline. Self-discipline. The man and the woman and everyone else in this world today, you and I, we need self-discipline. The greatest government that could be given in an aspect of your life is self-discipline. Self-government. Because it is the most difficult government to build and to practice in our individual lives. It really is. It's been said, you know the saying, that the road to hell is full of good intentions. Full of good intentions. And as we observe the world that you and I are living in today, all around us, we observe, I have observed, you have observed as a Christian, a man, woman of faith, that God demands order. Everything God made is order. We shared that to some degree last week when we talked about the law of physics, the law of the chemistry of your body. Every aspect that God did and everything He created is order. In fact, after the flood, God said that there would be what is called uniformitarianism. That there would be spring, summer, fall, winter, and it would continue until the end of the world. Uniform. Order. That is God. I mean, the caterpillar and the cocoon always precedes the butterfly. I said always. Okay? Trees always bud in the spring. And they bear their leaves and leaves them in the fall. and bear their fruit. That is order. It happens that way all the time, and it won't change. It's going to remain the same. That's order. Or, as it is, I mean, it's amazing to me. I've watched and studied the History Channel and many of the basic channels and the birds, how they migrate. I mean, that is just like clockwork. We have hummingbirds at our house. Okay? They migrated up here. Do you know how many miles those birds travel to get up here to Michigan? 6,000 miles every year hummingbirds migrate to get up here into Michigan where they were born. We got sparrows. They don't go anywhere. They stay. But we have a lot of robins this year, which we haven't seen for quite a length of time. But robins always return to where they were born. You know that, don't you? Naturally. I mean, they just do. That's order. They just have that built within them. I don't know how many of you have ever studied the salmon, because I love salmon fishing, Chinooks and, you know, you name them. But the point is that every spring and every fall, they'll beat themselves all the way up to the spawning ground. You can count on it. There's order there. They will do it, and they will do it faithfully, even to their death, to get back to where they are. I've seen it as I fished on the Muskegon River, on the little tributaries, and you can walk down. If you wanted, you could go down and snatch them up, because they're in these little streams just fighting to get upstream. Where they? That stream, most likely, at one time, had more water in it, and they were spawned and born up there. They're going there. That's order. It's order. It's order. Over and over and over and over again. So again, Dan planted his corn or wheat, whatever. Or wheat would have been planted last fall to be harvest now. But point is that the corn is planted in the spring, and it will come forth in the fall. We can see that every day of our lives, right? It's all around us. God is in control, and God is in control of order. Order. And God's plan for you and me is that we would discipline our lives in such a way we would bring our lives under control. I've been preaching on sanctification. Sanctification will never happen in anyone's life, morally or any otherwise, discipline until self-discipline is applied to that human being, and they, as it is, bring their lives under control, their emotions, their desires, their feeling, every aspect, that they bring them under control of the will of God. Of God's will. Period. Okay? And God's plan for you and I in that discipline is to bring our lives in such a way that we would become godly, Christ-like, righteous, that we would walk in holiness, we would walk in love, we would walk in the Spirit, we would walk disciplined, self-controlled people. God does not need robots. He's not have you on a string and whatever else, but He did empower you and give you a gift when you were born of the water and the Spirit, that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Love, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, self-control. For God to help us, there might be some necessity that God applies a little discipline of His own. Okay? How many of you loved your children? And how many of them, because you loved them, disciplined them? For what purpose? That they would live right, right? They would do what is right, right? Right, right? Are you with me? Right? Okay. So what does the Bible say? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, simply says, talking about those whom are God's children, whom He loves, says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Oh, man. If you walk in the room and there you are with the mother and a razor strap, she bends you over, pulls your pants down, lays it on, and says, I told you, after school, you come right home and change your clothes before you go over and ride on the hay wagon. You know what I did after that? I went home and changed my clothes before I did anything else, because that's what Mom told me to do. Why? Because Mom washed my clothes. Mom had to sweat over it because back then she didn't have a washing machine. She had a scrub board and a tub. Remember that days? Any of you ladies remember those days? And she had a thing with a wringer on it, and she put the clothes in there and cranked the clothes through. Remember that? That was Mom. Okay? Did I know what Mom was doing, what she was going through, what all that she was sacrificing in order to keep my clothes clean? So I've learned over the point. Why did she say? Because she loved me. I don't believe she did that for her own purpose. I believe she loved me. And sorrowful. The Bible says that discipline is sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Doing what is right. So what does it say? It says discipline is painful rather than joyful. Right? Huh? And so the Lord loves you. He will discipline you. Why would he discipline you? So you do what is right. Because he does care. He really loves you and he cares about your life and what you're practicing, what you're doing. And when you get out of the way, God's going to do whatever he can to bring you back into the way. Okay? And the point of it is, it yields a peaceful, but a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Okay? But it yields that. You know what Proverbs was written for? You know why God gave Solomon that wisdom that you and I could have it and have it a part of our... How many of you have memorized Proverbs? How many of you have taught it to your children? It was written to sons of... Wasn't it? Huh? Isn't that why it was written? You know, there is a literary book out there on Proverbs that was written for children. Buy it. Encourage your children to read it. Because the book of Proverbs was written so that people, you and I, could learn self-discipline and we could learn, as it was, wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. But all down through it, it shows how man needs to be prudent and how he needs to give and follow the instruction that that book gives in order that his behavior, that which he is as a person, could be wise, living their lives wisely. You find a lot of people who aren't too wise today. You see a lot of lack of self-discipline and self-control today. You turn your TV on, and how many days do you see people totally out of control? Huh? Well, it's the fear of God that brings that control. You know that. It's the fear of God that brings that discipline. You know that. It's the fear of God that determines and establishes the prudence of a person's life and helps them to control their temper and their feelings and their emotions and what they do and how they are driven to do what they do, and the onslaught of walking into a mall with a rifle and just laying it out and shooting and killing as many people as they can, and somehow or other, inside of themselves, they don't feel any guilt. I mean, think about it. I think Mark referred to that to some degree today, because you and I have been created by God for a purpose. 1 Timothy 4:7-11. Listen to these words. 1 Timothy 4:7-11. Paul writes and says, on the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Okay? For bodily discipline is only profitable for a little. Okay? But godliness is profitable for all things, for it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. So what are we to be disciplining our lives, self-controlled life, is to bring us to a life of godliness. Now, do you hear that? Okay, so there's several dimensions, if you will, of discipline I want to share with you very quickly. There's the inward discipline. Inward discipline. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time with his Father who was in heaven. So much time praying and interacting with his Father, that his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus not only spent a lot of time praying, but he also spent time in using and having and sharing and letting the Word of God become his source of authority and power when he was tempted, he quoted the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. He disciplined his life by spending time with his Father. Being God-centered keeps you from being self-centered. Having God's power reigning in the inner man gives you the strength to rule your passions, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, your fear, and all those things that control so many people and harnesses them and brings them to subjection to your will and to God's will. Are you in control of your life? Or is fear in control of your life? Is anxiety controlling your life? Is what's coming upon the world and what you see and what you hear, is that controlling your life? Luke 21 says that love waxes cold because of people's fear of what's coming upon the world. Fear. You know how many people are controlled by fear today? And the aspects of that fear, I believe fear is in direct disharmony with faith. I don't believe you can walk in faith if you're letting fear control your life. Faith should be controlling our lives. Faith in God. His God in control of your life. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your emotions, your feelings, your aspects of who you are, and bringing you to a point where you can be self-controlled? And demonstrate that in your individual life. How much time do you spend with God? How much time do you spend in the book? How many hours do you spend watching television? How many hours? You know what the average American home spends watching TV today? 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours the average American watching television. Imagine what would happen in your life if you took 8.5 hours to spend in the Word of God. And allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate your mind with the mind of Christ and bring your life into control and harmony with this book. My Bible teaches me, Jesus said, to go into your closet. How many of you have a closet? And go into it daily and pray in secret. And the God who hears in secret will answer your prayers openly. How much time do you spend praying? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Because if God's Word abides in you, you will find that word bringing you into control. You'll become controlled by the power of the Word of God. I'll say, we're busy. Yeah, we're busy. I'll put it off. I'll get busy tomorrow. I'm going to start developing a prayer life tomorrow. I just know it's necessary. I'm going to get some time, a study guide or something, and I'm going to get busy, and I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. How many of you said that and 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 said that, but never have done it? Just a question. That's the question, because you won't do it until you get self-discipline to do it. How about the physical discipline? They tell us that America is overweight. And they say that most of these elements of overweight is what's causing physical illnesses. They do. I'm sorry, but that's what they say. Remember, 1 Timothy 4:8 says, bodily discipline is profitable for a little. What do you say? It is profitable. They say one of the greatest exercises that you and I could be doing for our benefit is simply walking. I don't take an elevator at the hospital. I don't take elevator. I don't care if I'm going to the fifth floor. I walk the stairs and I walk down the stairs. I exercise. I exercise. Mel and I go to the mall and we walk and we walk. We exercise. I exercise my mouth. Notice how skinny my lips are? I mean, the point is that discipline is a part of that element of our physical makeup. Now listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says this. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man, person, destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Why? For the temple of God is sanctified. It is holy unto the Lord. It is God's body. It isn't your body. He purchased it, and he's going to redeem it back someday when he changes it and gives it a glorified body, because it now is his. He bought it with the blood of his son. He's coming to redeem it, and it's his, and God wants you to keep your body holy unto him. It is that and what you are. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, in our text, what did Paul say? Paul said, I discipline my body. I discipline it. Boom, 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 boom. The King James says, buff it. The aspect is, it's like a boxer beating the body in subjection. And what does he go on and say? And make it my slave. Does that mean that I can become a slave to my body's desires then? It certainly does. It certainly does. And so, I need to take control and discipline my body. And stop allowing it to be what I am subjected to. Thirdly, the outward discipline. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus' discipline was, the Bible defers and tells us very clearly, he went about doing good. The Bible says in Galatians 5:10, do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. You see, you can take a horse, but in order for that horse to become useful to you, you have got to break its spirit and harness it. Otherwise, it'll never be a useful animal for you and I to use. You can take a gas engine or you can take a steam engine, and for that engine to be beneficial and used and empowered, it has to be confined. It has to bring into itself a compression that is going to make it have the power to run the engine, to run the car, and to maintain that element, or else it is useless. If you're going to have a fall, be it the Niagara Fall, or be it Portland's fall, and it's going to be useful to produce the power of electricity, that water has to be funneled. It has to be brought into harness. So it will be useful for the purpose of producing electricity. And if my life is going to be powerful for God, then my life has to come under focus and a determined discipline to bring my life and to harness it into the will of God so that God, through His Spirit, can empower me to become what He's called me to be. Otherwise, it isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. And you and I today need to be dedicated and disciplined to reach out to every human being that we can to make a difference in touching their lives. As Mark mentioned this morning, narcissism is destroying our country. Oh, what is it in, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? On and on goes the question today. It's not about you anymore. You're dead. You don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in you. And if Christ went about doing good, then my discipline should be that I'm doing the same thing. I'm making a difference in other people's lives. Seriously. Love is a verb. And you cannot love without it being demonstrated in good deeds that you do for other people. And so the Bible says we're going to be judged according to what we have done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I want my life to be useful. And I know the only way it's going to be useful is I get my focus, discipline, that I keep my eyes on God's purpose for me. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we would walk and do the things that He predetermined we would do before He even created the world. God is at work in us to accomplish His will and His purpose, not mine. And if I look at my Lord, I can only say what He said. I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of Him who sent me. Is that your discipline as a Christian? Is that why you are who you are? Because you're committed and focused in on accomplishing and doing nothing but the will of God in your personal life. And lastly, there's the corporate discipline. You got the inward, the outward. You got that aspect of discipline that is so important. But how about corporate discipline? What do I mean by that? Everyone who competes in the race Paul said in our text. What does he say? They're to run off, right? And they are to exercise self-control in all things. I run. I run the 440. I run the half mile. I run the relays. But I'm telling you, in order to be a good runner, I had to exercise. I kept my weight under control. I run and run and run day after day. Anybody who becomes good at anything they do or they accomplish has spent hours and hours doing what? Practicing, training, doing what they need to do in that aspect of it. And so if you and I are going to compete, and we're competing in this race, we need to exercise self-control. Why? Because we're in this race together. I can't get it. I don't understand how in the world we in the kingdom of God can't get it that we are joint heirs. We are not separate heirs. We're joint heirs of the grace of God. We share everything together. We live and move in together in every aspect. You've been given the Spirit of God to grant you, and God fitly joined you into the body of Christ where He wanted you to be. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I don't need you. I can do it alone. I can be what God wants me to be, and I can do it alone. But you understand that the body is not one member, it is many. It is many members of the one body of Christ, and we need one another. And a lot of people are not going to make it because they have become loners. I don't find any place in the Scriptures where it talks about someone being a loner. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16, it says we're to speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head. Grow up. The whole body is fitted and held together. But what every joint supplies, what every joint is supplying, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the body to be built up in love. I can't read that and not see how important you are to me. For me to grow and to develop in my understanding of the love of God, I'm only going to see that love as you demonstrate it to me on how you treat me and my wife and my family. You see, love is a verb again, and I you don't know how much one loves you until you are fitted, joined together. Doesn't that make sense? I hope so. You and I are living in a world today that is not self-controlled. It's losing it all over the place. We're not living in a world anymore where self-discipline is the rule of people's lives. It isn't there. You know? The potential within our lives is that we have to become, as it is, like the steam engine. Or like any aspect of that which is confined and impressed and placed in. You see, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. It isn't the broad way that leads to life. It's the narrow. It's the confined. It's the focusing, bringing our lives into harmony with the will of God. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Focus is what causes me to be self-controlled and self-disciplined. Focused on what? Focused on Christ and what His Word says. And I spend a lot of time praying. How do I do that? How do I do that? Well, I do. I have four basic things I think is such important thing as I close. Number one, again, is you got to have your quiet time with God. I know the dishes are up, and I know beds need to be made. I know there's all kinds of things that are important. The house needs to be painted, but there should not be anything more important to you than having your time with God. That should be number one priority. Period. Period. That you spend, you go into your closet like Jesus invited you, and you pray in secret, and then wait upon God to openly answer your prayers, which He promises He will do. After all, Romans 12:1 says, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Secondly, You need to get in shape. You need to get your body in subjection. You need to get where you're not fatigued all the time and worn out because your body is fighting and resisting. There are a lot of different things in your aspects of it. The control of your body is such an important aspect of who you are. And I'm telling you, I have to beat my body into subjection. I can put on 10 pounds in about 3 days, and then it takes me 2 to 3 months to take it off. Right? Huh? Yeah. Rob says yes anyway. Okay. See, in a couple of weeks, I'm going up north to a men's meeting, and Tony Milliman is going to be feeding us. And if you know Tony Milliman, I mean, there's going to be all kinds of food, homemade ice cream, you name it. It's going to be on the menu. It's going to be there. I tell you, and I guarantee you, if I eat everything he puts on there for me to eat, I will gain, in 4 days, 10 to 15 pounds. I guarantee it. You don't think I'm going to have to practice some self-control? Well, you may not understand that Bill Horton is a light eater. As soon as it gets light, I start eating. The point of it is, no one's going to control that element except me and how much I put on my plate. What I've learned over the years is this. When I go to revivals or different home meetings or different places, I always put very little on my first plate. So I go back to seconds and put very little back on that. So when I get done eating, I've only ate a very regulated amount of food. Isn't that simple? Why do I do that? Because everybody comes walking around with a chicken. Want another piece? And I still got chicken on my plate. I mean, think about it, okay? And then I've learned the discipline of resisting evil. It's all around you, people. It's at work. It's in the marketplace. It's on your television. Only you, and only you, can discipline your mind and bring your mind to a point where you, no matter what, when you are tempted, you say no. No, Satan, you've had me. You don't go. I'm not going that way. Because that's his weapon. That's how he gets to us. He tempts us and tempts us and tempts us. And it's up to you and me to recognize it when it comes and to turn and flee from him. And say no. Say no. Say no. Say no. Say no. No, okay? And then, fourthly, you need to start getting involved by doing something for someone else besides yourself. Thank you, Mark. That's why we are who we are. We're not here for people to do something for me. Jesus said, I didn't come for people to do something for me. I came to serve people. I came here to be a servant. And I don't believe God changed his program when he brought the church into existence and gave us the arms, the legs, and whatever to be his body in this world in which you live in today. Give, and it will be given to you. Press down, overflow, pour it over into your lap. Because by the same measure you measure it out, it will be measured back. You're only getting out of life what you're investing into it. And if you're not giving and doing and appreciating and encouraging people, the Bible says we're to encourage one another daily because the days are evil. And lastly, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. That's the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. It becomes a habit, you know. You see, drifting is so easy. And people don't even realize they're drifting. And it all begins when you start forsaking meeting around the Lord's table. I don't come here for any other reason but that Jesus invited me to participate in the blood of the new covenant. The blood that he shed for me for the remission of my sin. That's what draws me here on the Lord's Day. Yes, I love you. I love being in the fellowship of God's people. But I want to be with the Lord. I want to be in the presence of his body, over which he is the head. And share together and praising him and singing and praying together and fellowshipping together. And all the aspects that are such an important one. Because I need you to help me to be self-controlled. And that's all a part of being together here on this day. It really is. And I know that there's reasons why people are not here today. They told me they wouldn't be here today. And I thank God for those who share that with me. But I do know they're assembling somewhere else. It's interesting that today several decided they were going north or they were going to, I hope they didn't get the rain up there. just going to spoil the time. I love you. I love you in the Lord. And I know God says, seek peace and sanctification, without which no one will see God. The only way that I can be sanctified and truly set apart for God is that I take control by the Holy Spirit's power within me and confine my will to His will and let Him empower me to get my thinking, my emotions, my feeling, and everything that there is in this human body under control. And only God can do that. I understand that. But I decide who I'm going to be and allow to be in control, right? Amen? So God bless you. I want you to see God someday. I want to see Him someday. And I know I'm not going to see Him someday if I don't let Him sanctify me and get me into a state of living a holy life. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. That's what He says. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, for its truth. And God, we all struggle. We all struggle with procrastination and having good intentions and all the things that comes into our lives. And God, the battle is hard. It is difficult to become a self-controlled, self-disciplined person. But yet we know Your word and Your spirit is there to give us the strength, the power we need to put our lives into Your and under Your control totally and completely, that You might be glorified, that we might accomplish Your purpose and be Your people to the end until Jesus comes or You take us, Lord, from this life and receive us into Your presence. So I thank You. I thank You that Jesus has set us an example, and may we follow in His footsteps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.